portion of scripture for a meditation this evening is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning with the 10th verse. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a son. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you will call him Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord, dear friends in Christ. We talk a lot about the different names of the promised Messiah, Jesus, and what those names mean. For instance, a year and a half ago, during our midweek Lenten services, we talked about the names of Jesus under the theme, Names of Wondrous Love. You see pictures or things like we have hanging up in our entryway of Jesus' names that form a cross. There's good reason why we talk about Jesus' names and what they mean, because the names of God indicate who God is and what God has done for us. So it's good and right and fitting that we take a look at some of the names of Jesus this year during our midweek Advent services. It's good and right to go back to the prophet Isaiah. Over 700 years before Christ was born, and see some of the names that Isaiah used for our promised Messiah. Today, we take a look at Emmanuel. First, we see that he is God's sign for us, and second, that he is God with us. Now, King Ahaz was a wicked king of Judah, the southern kingdom. And he had a problem. The kings of Aram, some enemies historically of the Israelites, and the king of the northern kingdom, Israel, here referred to as Ephraim, wanted Ahaz to join them in attacking Assyria. But Ahaz refused. So in turn, Aram, the king of Aram, and the king of Israel decided to attack the king of Judah, Ahaz. So the Lord sent Isaiah to Ahaz to assure him that they would not defeat him and that Ahaz would live. God would protect him. And to give him some assurance that God would protect him, he told Ahaz to ask for a sign. Anything he wanted as a sign, he could have had. He said, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." And what did Ahaz do? He refused. "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Now it may seem as if Ahaz was sincere. Now he tried to pass it off as if he was God. He tried to act as if he cared against God's word, but God saw through it. So did Isaiah. He asked, "Will you even test the patience of my God?" No, the rest of Ahaz's life indicates that he was a wicked, sinful man who didn't care about God. Listen to the summary of Ahaz's life recorded in 2 Kings chapter 16. "Unlike David his father, he did not do what is right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites." He desperately wanted to give this sign of assurance to Ahaz. But Ahaz insulted the Lord by defiantly rejecting his offer and refusing to ask for a sign. Clearly, Ahaz had little regard for the Lord, his promises, or his prophet Isaiah. He indicated by his actions or lack thereof that he didn't care much for the Lord, and arrogantly. Later, he chose to ally himself with Assyria, thinking that his human connections can protect them instead of God. Not taking what God offers is a grave and serious sin. Think about what God offers through the visible gospel, the sacraments. In baptism, he gives us a washing of rebirth and renewal. In the Lord's Supper, he gives us his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. They're not just signs that he offers, but the very substance of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And yet, many despise these gifts. They doubt their power. They neglect their use. Like Ahaz, they have little or no regard for the Lord, his gospel, his promises, his servants. Their actions or lack thereof indicate their faith and love they have for the Lord. And it's not just the sacraments. There's other things that we fail to take God up on his offer on, like the blessings he gives us when we hear and read his word, like his promise to give generously to those who give to him, or his promise recorded in 1 Peter 5 about prayer, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And it's really all about arrogance. Our sinful nature tells us that we can do things on our own. We don't need to pray to God. We can handle this by ourselves. We trust in our own selves to provide for ourselves before we trust in God. So we keep a little extra in our pocket. And what's so vile about it is that many people do it under the guise of godliness. They act as if they're trying to obey God's word, as if they are God-fearing. The reason why they don't make use of the gospel is because they're so busy providing for their family, working hard as God wants them to do. And in their mind, it's really okay that they haven't worshipped the Lord lately or haven't been at his altar for a long time because they pray a lot. So they make excuses. They try to pass over their sins as if it's part of godliness, as if it's part of obeying God's word that leads them to disobey God's word. Like Ahaz. Ahaz rejected God's request for a sign. So God said, you're not going to ask for a sign. I will give you a sign. It's not the sign that we might expect. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. This sign for Ahaz indicated destruction. And if we read on, we would have read about how when this child was born, Israel would be in poverty. The power and prestige of the country would be gone. The Savior would come from a woman, a virgin, not from Ahaz and his kingly line. Ultimately, that pact, the ally he thought he had with Assyria, would come back to bite Judah in a big way. They would come and attack the land and almost completely destroy it before God finally intervened. Now this sign for Ahaz and all unbelievers is nothing but love. But it means something completely different for us as Christians. We love and cherish these words. We hear them every Christmas, fulfilled, of course, in Jesus Christ. We deserve nothing but God's wrath. We deserve nothing but God's punishment for not making use of the promises he offers. But instead of condemning us, the Lord gives us this sign of the Savior. In love, God sent his Son into the world. In love, he forgives our sins and takes us to heaven. That little child to be born is God's sign of love, forgiveness to us. It's a sign we don't want by nature. Yet it's a sign that God graciously gives to us. But the Messiah is more than just a sign. He's also God with us. And it's really all based, all comes down to being born of a virgin. Now there are many, or there are some who want to deny that Mary was a virgin. Impossible, they say. And it is true that this Hebrew word, in some context, can maybe refer to a young woman and not necessarily a virgin. But Matthew makes it abundantly clear that Mary was a virgin. Not only does he use the Greek word, not for young woman, but the Greek word for virgin, he also says that Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. So the Bible makes it abundantly clear that this prophesied woman was a virgin, Mary. And there was no in vitro fertilization back then, or nothing of that sort. This sort of thing was impossible back then. It was physically impossible for a boy or any kid to be born of a virgin. So how was it possible? Well, as Gabriel told Joseph, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now we confess that each Sunday. Born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We don't know exactly how, but we know what it means. It means that Jesus is fully man, born of a virgin, and he is fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This child that Isaiah prophesied about is both God and man. Summarized by one word, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. God in the flesh. Jesus is God, true God from eternity. He's the almighty creator of the universe. He watches over the world. He preserves the world, his entire creation. From eternity, he has full divine glory and power and honor. And yet, he is God with us. He gave up the glories and riches and honor, that divine heavenly glory that he enjoyed. Almighty creator of the universe, the eternal Son of God, lived in a womb for 9 months. Completely humbled himself to become one of us. God with us. The Apostle John describes Emmanuel, God with us, this way in the first chapter of his gospel. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God made flesh and living among us and with us. Why? So he can save us. Think again about this sign that God gives us. The sign given to Ahaz and to us. It's the God-man. It's the Savior. God's response to Ahaz's sin, God's response to our sin, is to send a Savior. One who wouldn't reject God's promises. One who would never sin against God's will, since he can't disown himself. One who would give us his perfect life and become guilty of all of our sin. One who is able to serve as our substitute, as God, as man. And still Jesus, he is still God with us. He's still with us as he dwells inside of our hearts through faith in him. He has made us part of his kingdom through baptism. And he remains there through the gospel. And soon he will return and take us to his heavenly kingdom, where he will be with us, God with us in heaven. And in the meantime, he's still with us in the sense that he watches over us and protects us. He knows all our wants and needs, and he cares for us because we are his dear children. Ahaz received a sign. Not exactly the sign that we'd expect. And as Christians, this portion of Scripture is a precious one to us all. In it we see promise fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He is God with us. God made flesh to live with us, to save us, to watch over us, to dwell in our hearts through faith. And soon, God with us will be with us as he takes us to live in heaven forever. We will be with God and sharing in his heavenly glory forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.